Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Cool. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 3. Brilliant. It is so, so good, isn't it, to baptize people. It's such a great celebration of the reality of what God does in people's lives. It's great to see, you know, people just totally set free from things that have controlled their lives and just oppressed them, held them back. And, you know, when God comes into our lives, we step into a completely new life. Total freedom, absolute assurance of being forgiven, that God will never, ever hold our past against us. He will never, ever remind us of anything that has gone before that we have already been forgiven of, because when God forgives, he wipes the slate clean. When God forgives, he forgets. He throws our sin as far as the east is from the west. And that's what it says in the Bible. And, you know, we are then free to live the life that he has called us to. It's such an awesome way to live, isn't it, to know Jesus. I think sometimes we forget just some of the foundations or the basis of our Christian life and the absolute freedom, the confidence, the assurance that that gives us when we know what he's done for us. Because when we know by revelation, we understand, that's what God's done for me, man, that frees you to live in the good of who he is. It just, you can live with a smile on your face. You can live with a smile on the inside of you. You can live with so much hope, with so much optimism about life, because you know who the one your life's hand is in now. It's in God's hand and not your own. How many of you know that when you've got your life in your own hands, it can get a bit messy? You can make a few wrong choices. You can end up in some destinations that you don't really want to be in or you don't know how to get out of. And God ultimately is the only one who knows how to get us out of what we get ourselves in, but also what happens when we don't know him. How do we get out of the life that we've had? He is the only one that can get us out of the life that we've had, or the life some of you might be living at this moment, into the life that he has for us. And, you know, to be in the palm of God's hand, to have our life in his hand, what better place could there be than to know that your life is in God's hand? That is totally freeing. It enables you to relax. You don't have to try and strive. You don't have to try and please God in your own efforts. You don't have to try and make things happen. When you know that your life just sits right in the palm of God's hand. And how big is God's palm? The confidence that you can have. The assurance that you have. And all that goes with it. Let's have a look at what it says in Romans chapter 3. And then we'll come to this lovely box in a moment. Romans chapter 3 verse 24. The good news is this. That anyone, if you're in anyone this morning, just raise your hand. Anybody in anyone this morning. Anyone, it says here, Jew or non-Jew, can now be made completely acceptable to God. How many of you know you're completely acceptable to God? Some of you really aren't sure about that one. How many of you know you are completely acceptable to God? This acceptance is a free gift from God. How many of you like free gifts? And we all do, don't we? You know, you're walking through the mall and somebody starts to, has got one of these display areas and they sort of begin to move out of that towards you and you're like, oh, no, I don't want to be caught out here. And you know there's always a catch. And when they say, no, it's free, you think, yeah, right. It's free just to put the little smell there. It's free to kind of check something. But then it's $19.99 or $99.99 to get the rest of it and everything. But so in life, nothing seems to come free, but yet, there's one gift in life that comes free from God that is, it says here, the work of his grace. It's something that he gives us even though we don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything from God, but yet God gives us a free gift. It's the work of his grace, this gift, because Jesus gave his life for us on the cross, making it possible for all of our sin and failure to be forgiven. That's why God will never, ever speak anything negative about your life. God will never say anything negative about you. Because as far as God's concerned, the sin that used to captivate your life and the failure in terms of not being able to reach God or be good enough, whatever our lives were like, all of that has been dealt with. It's been forgotten. And so God will never speak anything negative about you or to you. He certainly won't say anything negative to anybody else about you. Because he's dealt with all of that. So God doesn't speak about sin over your life, and he doesn't speak about failure over your life. Now, that doesn't mean that we can... Now, if you do know Jesus, then if you do sin, well, it doesn't matter. He's forgiven me anyway. No, if we do stuff wrong, we still need to come and ask God to forgive us. But what we know is when we come to God and ask him to forgive us, then we know, boom, he forgives. Why? Because that's his nature. But he forgives... because he has already broken the power of sin. And therefore, when we do sin, his nature is then to forgive so that we walk fully with him in the way he intends us to. Now, we have we'll come to that in a minute. Let's not jump the gun for a moment. So this acceptance is a free gift from God, the work of his grace, because Jesus gave his life for us on the cross, making it possible for all of our sin and failure to be forgiven. God even made his own son the perfect sacrifice that would restore us to unity with God. Only faith in the power of his blood is needed to cleanse us and make us right with God. That's awesome. Only faith in the power of his blood is needed to cleanse us and make us right with God. Why should it be necessary for God to make his own son a sacrifice? Because he had to demonstrate that he is just. He could not say that our sin did not matter, even though until the cross he had not shown the full judgment our sins deserved. Sin had to be judged because it separates us from God. So his just and righteous judgment on sin had to be executed, had to be done. But instead of punishing us, you and me as sinners, his son bore the punishment we deserve. Wow, Jesus, the one who never sinned, became the punishment that we deserved. He took the punishment on himself. As you believe that Jesus did this for you personally, so you are made totally righteous and acceptable in God's sight. A couple of things here then. The cross is God showing his judgment, demonstrating his judgment on sin. The blood, as we've heard before, is what cleanses us from sin. So God's judgment is demonstrated or exercised by Jesus, who is not guilty, going to the cross, taking our sin upon himself because we were guilty. So he took our sin upon himself and he became guilty on that cross. That's how God judged and dealt with the power of sin over mankind. So he broke the power of sin over our lives by Jesus taking that sin upon himself, and he became guilty so that we could then be forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Now, this, in one sense, for us this morning is our grave, if you like, or our coffin or whatever. Can somebody just... Dave, can you just give us a hand lifting the lid off for a minute? I'm not going to lift the lid off the old. But, cheers, mate. This represents the life that we were living. Or when people don't know God, this is the life they're in. They're alive in the natural, but when somebody doesn't know God, and before you came to know Jesus, you were alive in the natural, but actually, according to the Bible, you were not alive to God. So spiritually, this is big enough actually. The one I was thinking about was a lot smaller than this. This is big enough to get somebody in it. Julian, come on, mate. Yeah, mate. No, it's strong enough as well. Oh, yes, yeah, it's strong enough.
Chippy, I think it's
you're
all
a chippy.
Right, yeah. You want me to get in it?
Yeah,
lie
mate.
Down.
Lie down in there, mate. You're going to be born again today.
Again.
That's not a bad fit, actually, is it? No. That's not bad. Because, you know, when you're living your old life, there are things hanging out all over the place. So that's... You know why you don't fit in there? Because your old life doesn't fit you anymore, mate. You got a new one. So you can't fit back into that old life. You know, God's too big in your life to fit into that old one anymore, and he's dealt with it all. But you see, as far as God's concerned, when he looks round, people that are alive to him are walking around like me. When you're alive to God, when you know God. Now, God sees that we're all alive in the natural, but actually in terms of relationship with God and destiny at that moment, when somebody doesn't know God, it's like they're lying in a coffin. They're lying in a position where they're not alive to God, and God sees that life and he says, I want to come and breathe upon your life. I want to come into your life and I want to take you out of the life that you don't have or the life that you do have in the natural. I want to bring you into life, into a life that you don't have at this moment. And I want to take you out of what is death, spiritually we're speaking. And I want to raise you out of that spiritual deadness or spiritual death. And I want to raise you into a new life with me. And so what happens, because of God is just and he must demonstrate his justice, the death that we deserve in order for us to come alive in him, in order for Julian to come alive in him, somebody had to pay the price that was not guilty to enable us to come out of being guilty and come into total forgiveness and freedom. And so Jesus, what he did, Jesus went on the cross. He took every sin, every punishment, everything that we deserve, everything that keeps us dead to God. He took upon himself and he said to the Father, he said, I'm prepared to take all the death, all the sin, everything that represents separation from you, as we've just read. I'm prepared to take all of that upon myself, bridging the gap from death to life. I'm going to take that all upon myself. And as I'm baptized, as I die, what God is doing, what Jesus did, he died because our old life was alive in us, if you like, but spiritually we were dead to God. When Jesus came, went down into the grave, when you come to God, you recognize, wow, I'm not alive to God. I'm alive in the natural, so I'm walking around, living and breathing. I've got a life. I think I'm alive, but actually I'm not quite alive in the way that God intended me to be. Because when you come to know God, you come alive in a completely new way. Your eyes are open to what life is really all about, and you realize that you're created to know the Creator. And when you know the Creator, your life comes alive in a completely new way. And so, you're right down there. You're waiting to come alive, yeah. Not too long now, mate, all right? I can see you. Yeah. And so what Jesus did, Jesus went into the grave, and it says, and what we've seen this morning, that we need to die. Now, what needs to die? Your natural life, your old life that we think is what we're alive for. God says, no, that's got to die in terms of the sin, the failure, the hurt, the pain, the shame, the guilt, whatever goes on that separates us from God. And that's got to die. So when Jesus was then raised up 3 days later to this new life, that is why now Julian, in this example, can be raised up out of being dead to God to now being alive to God, because Jesus identified with everything that separated us from God. Because he identified with it and took himself upon it, he could then be dead and buried. He was crucified, then he was dead, and then he was buried. He then came into that old life that we were, and he says, right, I'm breaking that off your life right now, so that when you ask me to forgive you, when you repent from living your life your way and you turn to me and you give me your life, then I can give you my forgiveness, and I raise you out of the death that you've been living in, and I now baptize you or give you a new life which represents total forgiveness, complete freedom, a new hope and a destiny that you can now live in and live for. That's what you live now, mate. Let's give him a round of applause. Thanks, mate. So we want to live fully in this new life, free from the old. Now, what God does when he takes us out of that old life, he doesn't leave the lid off. What he does is he makes sure that when he's raised us to a new life, he puts the lid on everything that represents the old life. He seals it. He locks it up. He says, this has been done with, dealt with. I'm locking it away for all eternity, never to be brought up again, never to be remembered. That'll do. Thanks, mate. And it's even on wheels. All right, just leave it there for a sec. Thanks, mate. As far as God's concerned, that's gone. What does the enemy want to do? He wants to try and steal, kill and destroy. He wants to try and rob us of the life we've got. So what does he do? What he tries to do is undo this. Because as far as he's concerned, he's saying, no, it's not dealt with, it's not sorted. It can't really be that good news. It can't really be true. So what the enemy does, he loves to kind of open the lid a little bit and say, oi, just have a quick look in there. He doesn't take the lid off and make it so obvious because it'll go, yeah, right. But what he does, he just says, look, take a peek in there. Because you're still not totally perfect. You're still not totally sorted. You're still not really that person that you think you should be before God, are you? Because really, that's not dealt with. You've still got a few issues. Have a look in there. 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 The devil is stuck like a record going round and round. He's only got one thing to say, and it is, have a look in there. 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 That's all he can do. Because his power has been overcome by Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus won the victory over everything that can separate you, hinder you, or hold you back. That's why the only thing the devil can say is... Now, he's not laughing. He keeps saying, have a look in there. Have a look in there. Have a look in there. And what does he try and do? The devil tries to wheel into your new life the old. You're not really set free. Have a look in there. Have a look in there. Have a look in there. Why is it on wheels? Because you know it can't. It's already been dealt with. It hasn't got a plate. It helps me as well. Because you know it's been dealt with. You're free from all of your old life. See, last week, God was speaking to us about living in and expecting miracles in our everyday lives. Lots of things happened last week, right? How does the enemy want to undermine that? What does he say? Look at your feelings. You're not doing very well today. You haven't forgiven that person, have you? You're not perfect. You don't feel powerful. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't read the Bible enough. You're not as anointed as Pastor Colin. He'll say anything, wouldn't he? That's right. You're not beautiful enough. You're not thin enough. Right? Yeah. You haven't got enough money at the moment. Get your eyes on that. Yeah. Last time you prayed for somebody, it didn't work, did it? Well, he was talking about something last week that's outside of your experience. You've never seen that before, have you? See, that is all the enemy has got. Yeah. That. In your weakness, God's strength is made perfect. See, last week wasn't about, do you feel a miracle? Or do you feel powerful? Or do you feel like something's going to happen? Or do you feel like God's going to work through your life this week, during the week? What Jesus says in his word is he has dealt with everything, firstly, that separates us from God. He has locked it away. It has been dealt with. The only way the enemy can try and undermine your life is by lying to you. Yeah. That is the only weapon he has. He does not have another weapon. He's been disarmed. He's got no arms. He's been defeated. He's got a couple of stubs there. So all he's got is that. That's why the word here is so encouraging. Let's just have a look for a minute in Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Colossians 2, verse 9 for a moment. For in him, the complete revelation of who God is has come to us in human form. In Christ, listen to this. In Christ, you have been given. Turn to the person next to you. Now, you've got this already. Just tell them. You've got this. You've got it all, right? You have been given the fullness of his life. So just tell the person. You've been given the fullness of Jesus' life. You've got it. Tell him, you've got the fullness. You've got it all. You've got the fullness. Now look at what it says next. You've got the fullness of life, his life, and he is supreme above every power and authority. So if you have the fullness of his life in you, and he is what? Supreme. What does the word supreme mean? It means top dog. It means above all. It means you are the supremo. You are number one uno. That is it. There's no question. He is supreme above every power. And what does that mean for you then? If you have the fullness of his life in you, the fullness of his life in you, and he is supreme over every power and authority. What does that mean for you? Right. If his fullness is in you, why does he want to put his fullness in you? Because he wants us to know him fully, but also he wants his fullness to flow out of our lives. He knows if we're going to walk with him, if we're going to cooperate with him, if we're going to be obedient to him, he knows that the enemy is going to try and stand in the way. Anybody that wants to move with God or move forward with God or be obedient to God and just do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in their lives, they are going to have opposition from the enemy. The enemy is going to try and stop you in some way. Most of it is that way, you know, to lie to you, put you off or whatever. And he says, but I've given you my fullness, and in that fullness is the power over, the supremacy over all any power and any authority. So as you go in my name, there is nothing that can hinder you from seeing my word or my will worked out in your life and through your life. There is nothing that can hinder. Can anything hinder Jesus from fulfilling the purpose of God? So if you've got the fullness in you and he's supreme over every power and authority, what does that mean for us? It sounds too good to be true. The enemy is saying right now to you, this is too good to be true. Doesn't he? He tries to sow little seeds of doubt because he just sounds, wow, this is too what? The fullness of Christ over every power and authority. And now that means I can... So nothing can hinder me from moving forward in the things of God. Absolutely. What does it say? Next. It's time. Oy. Because you live in him, you have received a spiritual circumcision, not one done by men, but by Christ himself. This circumcision involved cutting away your old sinful nature. Okay? So your old sinful nature, that's the nature you used to live by, right? Which separated you from God. That's been cut away from your life, which was what? Buried once and for all with Christ when you were baptized. So everybody's baptized today. Your old nature has definitely gone. You don't live by that anymore whatsoever. You've got a new nature. Now you have been raised to life, new life with him through believing in God's power that he has raised Christ from the dead. So he has also raised you from the dead, the death of sin, to a new life with him. You were spiritually dead because of your unforgiven sins, because that old nature had not been cut away. But then God brought you to life with Christ. He forgave all your sins and cancelled the written code of rules and regulations that were impossible for you to keep. So what does the enemy do? The enemy tries to remind you of old rules and regulations. You see, God's life is lived by grace, through grace, in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? God knows we can't do it in our own strength. He gives us the Holy Spirit and enables us by his grace to live this life. The enemy wants to get you looking not at God's grace and his goodness, but to get you onto the old written codes of law and all, you know, you can't make it, you can't do it in your own strength, you're an idiot, you're this, that and the other. The great thing is, at that moment, you can say, yeah, devil, you're right. That's what I used to be like. You're dead right. You're dead right. That's what I used to be like. Oh, yes, I used to be an idiot. Yes, I used to be a whatever. Yes, I used to be like that. You're so right. You reminded me of my old life. Thanks very much for reminding me of what I've been set free from that doesn't affect me anymore, doesn't hold me back anymore. So thanks a lot that, yeah, in and of myself, I am rubbish. I am useless. I can't do it. I can't do this. I can't do that. Thanks for reminding me, but that's gone. I don't have to try and live this in my own effort. I'm totally dependent on the grace of God enabling me to live the life that he's called me to. So if God's going to do something through my life, then I can't do it. No, you're dead right. But that's why Jesus took me out of that and brought me into this, because he knows I can't. But now I've got him, now I can, in him. Let's have a little look. What does it say just as we end? He forgave all our sins and cancelled the written code and rules and regulations that were impossible for you to keep and only consigned you to failure and defeat. Jesus removed this code by nailing it to the cross. There he also disarmed the demonic powers and authorities that oppose us. His triumph over them on the cross was a public defeat for them. You have authority over the power of the enemy. You have authority over negative thinking. You have authority over everything that tries to hinder you, hinder me, hinder us from moving forward in the things of God. The new life that we have is a powerful, very practical, victorious life that we've got. Amen. But we maintain that life, we have to maintain that faith by putting it into action, by putting it into use, by exercising our faith. Sometimes we want a mega thing to happen in a moment of time, and suddenly poof, your faith muscles are three times the size they were. Suddenly, poof, I feel powerful. Now I feel what you're talking about. Yeah, hallelujah. I feel like a miracle person. But actually, a lot of the time, our feelings are like, well, I don't actually feel that strong. I don't feel like I've been getting into the Word, I'm encouraging, but I don't feel like this. I've been, like now, for about a year, doing the old cross trainer and all of that every other day, pretty much, and in between doing some press-ups and other things. And, you know, you can see the shape of your muscles or your shape of your body changing a little bit and all of that. But it's not like suddenly, you know, you look like one of these guys off WWE. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, or whatever. But it's only when you exercise your faith, you realise, I was cycling to work the other day and I left a bit late and I thought, I've got 8 minutes to get there. And I thought, if I ride hard for 8 minutes, I'm going to sit down and get to the 8 o'clock meeting. And in the first 5 minutes, I'm just going to go sweat. But I thought, well, I need to be there on time. So I got on the bike. I normally try and leave at 2:15 to take my time so I'm not sweaty when I get there. I just sort of ride nicely, slowly. But I was late this morning, and so I got on my bike and jumped on it, and I just pedaled like billy-o, you know, as fast as I could, and to the office, up to Roffey there, college. And when I got there, I was a little bit sweaty, and I walked in, sat down, and literally at that moment, Imposter Colony got up to start, and I sat down, and I suddenly realised for a moment, hang on, I'm not out of breath. I'm not gasping for air. My body's not going, what have you just done to me? And I was pedalling as hard as I could to get there as fast as I could. Now, a little while ago, if I'd done that, halfway up the journey, I'd have been like, man, my legs can't take it, my lungs can't take it, I've had it, I've got to slow down, all of that. But yet, I wasn't out of breath, and it's like, it's only when you exercise something beyond where you are, actually you realise you've got the capacity for something so much more than you think you have. How do you see God move in your life? You exercise faith. You put it to work. And as you put your faith to work, then you exercise that faith, that muscle gets stronger, and then that releases the things of God in a greater way. So you ready to exercise a bit of faith this morning? Yeah. Just stand to your feet a minute. How many of you really received from God last week? You know something happened, something changed, your thinking changed, what's happening in you's changed. Now we're going to continue to exercise faith this morning, okay? Because faith, you know, so the scripture talks about asking, go on asking, seeking, go on seeking, knocking, go on knocking, right? There's some things that started, or certain things that happened last week that released some people's miracles. Some people have something's been released and something started, but you know this week, something happened last week, but you've been, you know, kind of like, well, I don't know if the full thing's happened, I'm not really quite sure. There's a work that God is doing in us that's not just based on an event on a Sunday morning, 1 week, this week, next week, the week after, but actually God is wanting us to exercise faith in our daily life every day to enable us to walk in, live in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of His Word, but also to see that outworked in other people's lives. So you ready? So we're going to exercise some faith. God has given us authority over every power and authority. So we're going to continue. We're going to tell the devil where he needs to go. He's this week, for some of you, even after last week, he's been going, you didn't receive anything. Nothing happened. Look at yourself. Da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. Whatever he wants to say, because he's trying to put you off your stride. And living by faith is constantly actually having to exercise, well, Father, I thank you for this is who you've made me. Thank you that I'm not what that lie says. That's what I used to be like, but I'm not like that anymore. Thank you, Father, that you spoke to me about my healing. So, Father, I thank you for my healing. I thank you you've set me free from what used to control me. So we're going to just continue. Now, some of you got family situations. And some of you, when I was praying earlier, believe that you came forward. I really want a miracle. I hope something's going to happen. And what I believe God has been speaking to you as you respond this morning, not just to come forward, but as we just raise our hands in a moment, it's like, Father, I thank you for that healing grace in my family. I thank you right now. You have promised me restoration in my family. You have promised my son or my daughter, whatever. So, Father, I thank you for the victory in this situation. Father, I thank you. You spoke to me about my healing. So, Father, I thank you that you have healed me. I continue to receive everything in my body this morning that you have spoken to me about. Because the enemy says, you still got the symptoms. Look at the feelings. You're still in pain. You're not healed. That's a lie. That's psychosomatic. The Bible saying you are healed when you've still got the symptoms. Because that's how the enemy works. The enemy works. Don't believe the truth. Look at the facts. But it's the truth that sets you free. Once there's a revelation of the truth, then the facts begin to line up with the truth. All right? So let's just raise our hands this morning. And if you know you've got a situation, you know God's been working, you know God's been doing, we want to remind the enemy, shut your gob. That's dead, buried, and finished with. That's not me any longer. Now I'm a new person. I've got this authority and power over whatever it is going on. So just raise your hands now. Continue to thank the Lord. Father, I thank you right now that you've spoken to me about my healing. And so I thank you for my healing right now. I continue to rebuke every symptom, every diagnosis, because that doesn't fit God's description of who I am. God's description says, you are healed. By my stripes, I have healed you. If there's a family issue, Father, I thank you. You've spoken to me about my family. So, Father, I thank you for my family being restored, my marriage being restored, or my son coming to Christ, or my daughter being healed, or whatever it is. Father, I thank you right now for the victory that you have given me already in the practical circumstances of my life. Right now, I refuse to listen to every lie, every doubt, every fact, everything that says that's not true. God is lying to you because you haven't seen it yet. We rebuke every lie like that. We cut it off from our lives now in Jesus' name. All of that lot is dead and buried and has been dealt with. Just take hold of the truth. Appropriate it right now that God has given you his victory, his authority to exercise that in the practicalities of your life. Father, I thank you for your power at work right now. I thank you that as believers, you want us to be responsible, mature, and take hold of your word and apply that in the coalface realities of our life and our situations. So, Father, we thank you right now for victory in every family, your healing grace in every marriage, the work of your Holy Spirit in every man, every woman, in a marriage where there needs to be healing or restoration. Father, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit right now in every heart, in every life, where there needs to be a repentance, where there needs to be a humbling, where there needs to be a breaking. Father, we thank you for that work taking place so there can be that full restoration in marriages right now in Jesus' name. We rebuke every symptom of sickness, every diagnosis right now. If you've been to the doctors in the last few months and he's diagnosed you with something, I just want you to raise both hands right now. If you've been diagnosed with something, it might not be serious, but he said, you might have gone along because your chest has been wheezy. And he says, oh, you're an asthmatic. And since then, you might have said, well, actually, I'm an asthmatic. That is not God's diagnosis over your life. You are not an asthmatic. Some of you might have been to the doctors and they said, oh, your blood sugar count is not right. And therefore, you're a diabetic. God does not call you a diabetic. That is not his description of who you are. You are not a diabetic. It's important that you don't call yourself names that you are not in God. Because those names like to attach themselves. And you put yourself in a situation, well, I'm a diabetic. And before you know where you are, you say, well, I've got to live with that. No, you don't have to live with it because Jesus has done something with it. Crucified it, sorted it, healed it. So if that's been your confession this morning, what you need to do is, right, from this day onwards, I am not going to confess that I'm a diabetic or I'm an asthmatic or I'm a whatever. That's right. From this day onwards, because that's not God's description. Jesus, if he walked into your lounge, wouldn't say to you, John, you're an asthmatic. John, you're a diabetic, would he? So if he wouldn't, we shouldn't. Amen. All right? So if you've had anything diagnosed over you, I want you to raise both hands this morning. It's really important. Just raise both of them up right now. If you've been diagnosed with something in some way, however great or small, big or small, whatever it looks like, raise both hands right now. Father, I thank you for every man or woman that has their hands raised now. I thank you that your diagnosis over their life is not what has been spoken over them. So right now, in Jesus' name, I break those words that have been spoken over their lives that says you are this or you are that or you're the other. We do not receive those words any longer, and we just loosen off the attachment that those words have had in our thinking, our emotions, our psyche that says, well, I'm this now, I need medication, I've got to live with it. We loosen off, break off all of that stuff right now in Jesus' name. And we change that confession to say, I am a child of God who is healed and is whole in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the spirit of revelation to come upon every one of these people today, that they are healed in your name, that their confession changes by revelation, not by just rote or by saying something. I thank you for revelation coming right now that says, this is what God says, so this is who I am, that I'm not an asthmatic, I'm healed. I'm not a diabetic, I'm healed. I'm not a this or that or the other. I am healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now, you need to, if you are on medication of any sort, go to the doctors, get him to check you and all of that lot. But our confession is so important with who we are, that we only speak what is true over our lives. We only speak what is true over anybody else's life as well. So this week, we have his victory. If we are raised to a new life with Christ and he is supreme over every power and authority, where does that put us with him? That's awesome. You're not a victim. You are not a victim. You are not the tail. The Bible says we're the head. We're out front. We're moving forward. We're breaking through. That's the spirit that you've got on the inside of you. That's who you are in Christ. You're a front-footed, breakthrough, cutting-edge person in the things of God. That's who you are on the inside, because that's who Jesus is on the inside of you. So this week, let's only speak what we know is true. Even if your feelings are raging in some other way, it's like, right, I just bring my feelings under the authority of God's word right now. Sometimes your feelings won't change until you really take some authority over them. So I'm not going to go with my feelings. I'm not choosing to believe that report. And so I just bring the word of God over my emotions. This is what God says. You might feel nothing about it, as you begin to say, this is what God says, something happens in your spirit and everything else begins to line up then with the victory that is in your spirit. Father, I thank you this week for a week of victory. Father, I thank you for the VIP on Wednesday. It's going to be an awesome night of victory. Now, this Wednesday, there's some really important things we want to communicate and really pray through as a church. So there's some important things we want to talk about and communicate that we really need to be in agreement with as a church to see some change in certain areas. And so really for as many people as possible to be there on Wednesday. It's going to be a really important night. We've had a 2.5 days earlier in the week as a team, as a staff, where God really met with us and encountered with us in a fresh way. And God's been reviving certain things. We want to share a little bit of that, not talk about it, but God do things on Wednesday night. But also there's some other real practical things that we want to communicate, talk about and pray through to do with vision, to do with finances, to do with where we're going and what God is doing. So it's going to be a really important evening on Wednesday. So if you can make it, it'll be a great evening, okay? And then in October, we've got 3 encounter nights where we're just going to be together for 3 nights. We're going to fast during those 3 days, a media fast as well. But God wants to encounter with us as a people for 3 nights where we're going to be fasting for 3 days as well during that time in October. So just stick that in your diary. It's in the bulletin thing. And in church life, and you can check that out. But Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for the victory that we have. Thank you that this represents this box. The old that has gone is finished, dealt with. You've wiped it away. You've pushed it away as far as the east is from the west. And you've now given us this victorious, overcoming life to live now. So Father, I thank you for the spirit of revelation to be at work this week with every person in this place. When we read your word, it will leap out to us, life off a page, because of the spirit of revelation, the spirit of faith that is released. So Father, I thank you for a positive, life-giving week this week in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.